Sisters, friends, and family, we welcome you here this afternoon. We're met here today to pay our respects to Louis Frank. This funeral service began with a family prayer offered by Craig Frank, a son. We'd like to thank Tiffany Forbes for the beautiful prelude and postlude music that will be provided, for Jay Roundy, who will be our chorister this afternoon. I am Bishop Broadbent. I've been asked to conduct this meeting, and we'd like to recognize President Hansen on the stand from our state presidency. We will begin this portion of the service by singing an opening song, hymn number 193, I Stand All Amazed, following which we'll have an opening prayer by Ashton Bunderson, a granddaughter. Following the opening prayer, we'll have a sharing of memories by daughters Kelly Kadenak and Jamie Roundy. Following them, there will be a musical number, I Will Walk With Jesus, performed by the Frank granddaughters and great-granddaughters. And following them, we'll have a speaker, Craig Frank, a son, and we'll proceed to that point.
God, our eternal. eternal loving Heavenly Father, we pray to Thee today that Your Spirit may be here with us as we show our love and honor for Grandpa Lewis, and we feel so very blessed to have known him and to be loved by him, and we pray that he can be here with us and that Your Spirit can be here with us. We're so very grateful for our Savior Jesus Christ, and we pray that in this time of sorrow, our hearts can also be full of joy, because He lives, our Savior lives. And I pray that all who are here can, their hearts can be full of Your love, and that they can receive a testimony of the love of our Savior, because that's how Grandpa would want it. And pray for Grandma, and again for all those who are here. Pray that after this wonderful meeting that everyone can travel home safely, full of joy. And we're just so very grateful that we're all able to be here today. And we love Thee, Heavenly Father, and we pray for these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hi. For those of you who don't know, my name is Kelly, and I have known Lewis for 24,177 days. Through all those days, I have known him as Daddy, Dad, when I was a teenager, and now just Dad. I've also seen him as a great husband, son, brother, grandpa, great-grandpa, uncle, and friend. For those of you that don't know our exact family dynamic with the kids, I'm the oldest, and then there's Craig, who's just younger than me, and then Mark's about 8 years younger, so halfway in between, and then she's 19 years younger than me, so we're spread out. So when we talk about our memories, they're different, because I was with Mom and Dad when they were young and in their 20s and 30s. And she was with them older. And Mark, like I said, was kind of in the middle there. So our memories are different. So my perspective is the young stuff, I guess, when I lived at home. So some of my earliest memories of him are how hard he worked to take care of our family. He worked long hours with our Grandpa Frank in their concrete business. And then he moved on to LeGrand Johnson and the city of Logan. He would come home from work and continue to work around our house, and he kept a beautiful yard and garden, and he did a lot of home remodeling projects, and Mom always had a honey-do list for him too. And he could fix anything, even without a YouTube video. I'm glad that he passed some of those skills on to me, and I know he did to Craig and Mark too. And I'm going to be able to miss asking him questions about how to fix things, because I was still doing that. I would come and say, we have this problem. And he was always able to give me some advice or help with that. As a young child, I remember my parents having house parties with some of their friends, and they would be dancing in the living room and playing games. It was the 60s, so then they were in their 20s, so they were having a good time. My mom called him quite the stepper with his dance skills, and it helped me out in my middle school years when we were all forced to take dance in middle school, and I was able to come home and he would jitterbug or swing dance with me so I would practice. Dad was also an athlete in high school, and he continued playing on commercial softball teams, after they got married, and Craig and I spent a lot of hours at the Ball Diamonds in the summer in the evenings because Mom also played ball. So three or four nights a week, we'd be hanging out at the ballpark. We spent many of our weekends camping and fishing in the summer, at first in tents and then in our camper and with our boat. Dad patiently taught us how to bait a hook, clean our catch, and then we got to do the fun stuff when we were a little older, and he taught us how to water ski. In the winter months, Dad liked to snowmobile with his friends and his family, and he taught us to ice skate on the rink in Providence, and he also taught, at least me, I'm not sure about Craig, but he taught me to ski at Beaver Mountain. And skiing has become a family thing with my husband, who's a big skier, and my kids, so that has passed on down into my family in a big way. Dad always made holidays and family gatherings fun. He was a tease and a joker, so he always had something to rib you about. These gatherings now include a lot more people than they used to, with the 15 grandkids and their spouses and the 18 great-grandkids. Once I was married, Dad accepted my husband Jamie right into the fold and invited him on hunting and four-wheeling adventures, which he appreciated. He even loaded up his cement equipment and came all the way to Las Vegas to pour the sidewalks and patio at our new house. And he happily welcomed our two kids and loved them as only he could. I was talking about Dad with my brother Mark this week, and these are some of the memories that Mark shared with me. He said that Dad always had time for him, and anything that Mark needed, Dad was always there for him. They did a lot of hunting and fishing together. One of Mark's favorite elk hunts with Dad was in one of Dad's favorite canyons deep in the pines. And Mark remembers the elk were kind of surrounding him, and they could hear them bugling and talking to each other. And Dad loved the mountains, and Mark spent a lot of time in the mountains with Dad. And Mark just remembers just sitting and talking to him and really enjoying the outdoors. Mark also worked with Dad and appreciates all that Dad taught him about concrete work and working hard. And he said Dad was always right there working with him and others and learned teaching people the trade. Dad taught Mark to have pride in his work, which Mark carries with him today. This is a direct quote from Mark. I want to state this exactly how Mark said it. Dad is a good man and father that taught me many things about life and is respected by myself and many others. Love you, Dad. I'm so happy that I had the chance to know and love my dad for 24,177 days. My family and I are so happy we had our time with him, and we love and miss him. And now I'm going to turn it over to my little sister, Jamie.
So growing up as the youngest, I had a totally different view. I grew up hearing about all of this, these fun experiences, but I never really experienced them for myself. I missed out on them, and just the different experiences with my siblings, as well as my dad and mom, but I wouldn't change anything looking back. It's not very often that a child gets so much of their parents' time, and I've always felt incredibly lucky because of it. Friends came and went, and my siblings moved away to start their own families, but my parents were always my best friends. I've always loved to spend time with my dad. I wasn't lucky enough to get at water skiing or whatever she said. I wasn't a part of that, but my dad had some dogs out on the west side of town. I don't even ever know why they were out there and not at our house, but I always just loved to ride in the truck out with him and talk to him, and half the time he wouldn't let me get out of the truck because it was muddy, but I didn't really care. I just liked to be with him. He and Mark even took me snowmobiling once, and I got to ride on my own machine, which was really a big deal at that time. I got stuck so many times because of the new snow that I don't ever remember being invited again. And if you know snowmobiling, you just know why. We all know that my dad was a big tease. I can still hear him saying things like, "You want to pop on the nose?" And usually his dukes were up when he said it. Or he'd say, "Do you want to be down looking up?" And there was always with hand motions. I don't think he could talk without using his hands. It was just a part of who he was. I've often joked over the years that I grew up in a nursing home because I was, you know, so far behind. But it was mostly to tease my parents. But really, I grew up during their season of retirement, grandchildren, and just the later years. And because of that, I got to see a different side of them. It was fun to watch my dad figure out how to stay busy after he retired. He'd worked hard his entire life, and he didn't know how to slow down, so he didn't. He was always helping someone with a project, fixing something around the house, gardening, preserving food, four-wheeling with his friends, making the yard immaculate, or plowing snow. He just kept serving in quiet, steady ways. My husband Roger and I were able to get my parents to travel with us a little bit, which was a blessing. We went to Alaska, Florida, New York City, Washington, D.C. We took an RV trip to the Grand Canyon and went to Hawaii. It was really fun seeing my dad in short pants. His legs were super white. He even learned how to boogie board and snorkel in Hawaii. And what stands out for me from those trips was in Hawaii, you know, we did all the sightseeing and all the luauing and all the everything there was to do. But what he enjoyed the most and what I like remember was just watching him sit in a lounge chair, completely content, just watching the birds. He found joy in the simple things. My dad loved his 15 grandkids so much, and they have so many special memories with him, and I asked each of them to share a little remembrance. So Kelly's daughter Tori said, "I remember always being excited to go to the place to feed Grandpa's dogs, that same place. As a kid, I appreciated that when we would come to visit in the summer, he would get the trampoline out and put it up for us to jump on since we didn't have one at home. Half the time he wouldn't put it up for me, so that was pretty nice. Because he didn't like to mow around it. Anyway, over the past few months, for some reason, I suddenly keep thinking about how he would always tell me, "Don't take any wooden nickels," as his parting phrase. I finally looked up the phrase and a few months ago decided I should start saying that to people. Kelly's son Ian said, "My memory of Grandpa is him wrestling me and Trevor down on the trampoline. He would always come out and pin us at least once a day, and that was really fun." Craig's daughter Nicole said, "Grandpa supported my interests. He listened when I talked about the bees I was working with and built the most beautiful nesting blocks in his garden and kept me updated on their progress. When I was little, I always remember Grandma and Grandpa talking to each other and how it frequently sounded like a fight. As I've grown older and remembered their conversations, I remember the love in each growly conversation and the funny, frustrated laugh that Grandma would let out after Grandpa left the house because they knew how to get a rise out of each other, and they both loved it." Craig's son Jordan said, "I remember weekly meals followed by wrestling matches with Grandpa and the carpet burns that followed. I also remember his molasses cookies that he would share with others. It was enjoyable to hear hunting stories from Grandpa about his outdoor adventures and learn from his years of experience while we were up on the mountain eating some kipper snacks or burning a hot dog. I also remember and appreciate his example of work ethic and dedication to his family." Craig's son Trevor said, "I remember hunting with Grandpa. I was walking along behind him and he turned around and said, 'Here, Trev, have a Whopper.' Of course, being a kid who loved any type of candy, I was delighted. He stopped me right before I could eat it. It was deer droppings." That might have happened to Rebecca too. When I was 14, my home teaching companion was Eldon Dadage. He would always call me Little Louie because he remembered Grandpa with very blonde hair. It is still one of my favorite nicknames, and I always felt so proud to be referred to as looking like my grandfather. Craig's daughter Courtney said, "I always loved when Grandpa would come snowmobiling with my dad, brothers, and I. It always made it more fun when he went on those adventures with us. I also enjoyed being able to say hi to Grandpa and Grandma from the schoolyard. I remember times bragging to my friends, 'Those are my grandparents.'" Mark's oldest, Rebecca, said, "When I got to go hunting with Grandpa, he would always remind me to walk like an Indian. I guess I was not quiet enough. He would always stop and put his nose in the air and say, 'I smell elk.' They do actually have a smell, and now I catch myself doing that in the mountains." Mark's daughter, Ashton, said he tolerated my sisters and I as we jammed out to Tim McGraw's Indian Outlaw on repeat during a hunting trip he took us on. Everyone could tell he was sick of it, but he let us hit replay and sing out as long as we wanted. But most important memories are Grandpa being quiet, calm, steady, and constant. During a time of uncertainty and grief, I can remember my sisters and I feeling lost and grieving, but finding hope in the knowledge that no matter what happened, we had access to the Holy Priesthood because of our Grandpa. During that time, my faithful Grandpa was a source of peace because throughout my life, I watched him show up on time, calm, with no questions, even when he didn't know or understand what was going on. I got to watch him serve quietly, always ready to work, to serve, and many times he'd show up in a suit and a tie with oil and faith and trust in our Savior. I knew who my Grandpa was. What a joy and a blessing it is to be his granddaughter. Mark's daughter Tiffany said, "Grandpa always showed up for me no matter what and remembered details about the things I said. It always made me feel special. A small example was one of my adult birthdays I wanted to eat dinner with him and Grandma. I showed up and Grandpa had gotten me my own personal ice cream cake, my favorite, as a surprise. I'll never forget the way he looked at me on my wedding day and when he met my little Lewis for the first time." Mark's youngest, Samantha, said, "Grandpa used to always tell us when we left his house, 'Don't take any wooden nickels.' I heard Grandpa sing the song 'Sweet Violets' to Grandma a few times. He loved that song. He would tell us all that his diet Mountain Dew was the nectar of the gods, and we would rub his head for good luck." My daughter, Jay, said, "When I was little, I would go to Grandma and Grandpa's every Monday because my mom worked. Grandpa would always walk up to Providence Elementary and pick me up. He would always bring me these little gummy heart candies that I loved so much. He would buy them in bulk around Valentine's Day and hide them from me in his cabinet in his room. He'd always bring me 3 or 4 when he'd pick me up from school, and when I would ask for more, he would say, 'You can have more next Monday.' When Grandpa was outside during my recess in the schoolyard, he would pass green beans through the fence to me when they were on, or if not, he would pass me an Oreo. I love my Grandpa." My son, McKay, who's currently serving a mission in Argentina, sent us a little note that said, "We bonded over fishing in Idaho, eating donuts and drinking Mountain Dew. Every time I saw him, he always greeted me by saying, 'Hello there, bud.'" My daughter Carly said, "I'd always come to Grandma and Grandpa's house after school when my mom worked. Grandpa would take me to Wendy's to pick up lunch. He would always bully me for getting a chocolate frosty because he said the vanilla was the best." My daughter Erica said, "Lately I've been walking to the library by Grandpa's house every week after school and then stopping by to see Grandma and Grandpa. He always teases me about getting the big stack of books that I bring home. And he would also tease me and Mason about how stinky the Vienna sausages were that we would always eat at his house for a snack. Even though he hated them, he just kept buying them by the case because he knew we liked them. And Grandpa would always pass Smarties to me and Danny, who is a great-granddaughter, through the fence during recess." And my youngest, Mason, said, "I love the candy jar at Grandpa's house. It's always full of different candy bars. Me and Grandpa both love the 100 grands, and we would fight over them." As much as I love all these lighthearted memories that are so fun, what I'll remember most about my dad is that he wasn't a man of many words. He was quiet. He didn't talk a whole lot. But by watching how he lived, I learned everything I needed to know. He was strong. He worked hard. He just found ways to serve those that he loved. He took care of things. He showed up. He helped. And that is really just how he showed his love for each of us. He wasn't a guy that would hug and kiss you and tell you he loved you all that often, but he showed it through different ways. I've been blessed to live nearby my parents, and so I, you know, normally see them every day, but I felt so grateful these last few weeks to spend the time with them. We joked that we were sleepover buddies these last few weeks, and some of my most tender memories will be from quiet moments in the middle of the night. My dad loved my mom more than anything, and his final days, his concern was for her. They've each faced many health challenges over the years, but they were a strong team and always cared and supported each other. Now my dad has returned home to the God who gave him life, and I am so happy for him. I'm so proud of him. I'm glad I got to share his life with him. This last year, my daughter Jay asked my dad to write down his testimony as a birthday gift for her. I don't ever remember seeing my dad stand at a pulpit and bear his testimony in church. He was just wasn't him. But throughout his life, and in that simple message to his daughter, his testimony was clear. After the simple testimony, he wrote, "I love the Lord." My dad loved the gospel. He didn't preach it from the pulpit, but he lived it every day. And at different times in my life, I'd find him alone on his knees in prayer beside his bed at night. I remember walking the block to church with him every week and sitting in the same cushioned seats in the back corner. And that quiet devotion shows me more than any words ever could. I will forever be grateful for his example of steady, quiet faith. An example that shaped my testimony and my children's. Something else Jay shared with me recently is that she'd never seen Grandpa cry until the day she got home from her mission and he hugged her at the airport. That moment says so much about who he was. He understood the importance of the gospel, and he found great joy in seeing the next generation live it. My son, McKay, will be coming home from his mission next month, and he won't get the chance to get a hug from Grandpa Frank. But he'll carry something even greater. He carries the faith and love and quiet devotion that my dad lived every day, and each of us do. My dad's mission in this mortal life has come to an end, but his legacy will continue through his children and his grandchildren. I know that through the atonement of Jesus Christ, death isn't the end. Because of him and his sacrifice and resurrection, we will be reunited with those we love again. All that is wrong will be made right through our Savior, and I know it. The promises are sure. I'll miss my dad till I'm with him again, but I'm proud to be his daughter. I love you, Dad. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
To God and man. Well, I want to thank all of you for being here. I think my talk's done because I've spoken with every one of you already. Welcomed you and said, hey, great for coming out. So let's call the day and go home. Dad always liked short meetings, but we'll try to make it happen. One second, though. Some of you will know what that is. Others won't. I'll explain in a minute, okay? All right. So, but I do want to thank all of you for being here. I did have a ream of paper because they told me to talk about my memories of Dad. I was going to bring a ream of paper and go one page at a time. You all got time, don't you? It's Saturday. We have no lawns to mow or anything. It'd be a great day. But let's not do that. So, let's see if I can. You can tell I've changed the talk several times the last couple days, rode around the edges and stuff, so it's going to, we'll work for it. One thought that came to me after I'd written this talk was just yesterday. I was thinking about Dad and thinking that I'd had the great opportunity of being with him for 64 years. Him raising me, being my dad, helping me to learn, to grow, to do what I needed to do. And I reflected on that for a minute and thought about his life and how 61 years earlier, his dad had passed away. He was 26 years old and he had to step up and be the head of the household to a wife, kids, a business to run. I mean, the man had a lot of challenges, a lot of trials in his life. I mean, we all have a lot of trials in our life. And, you know, I got thinking about that. One thought came to me. You know, there's only one person in this room that has no trials anymore. And it's Dad. He's met his trials. He's up reporting to his Heavenly Father now of what he did in his life. And I know it's going to be a good report because he was a great man. As I was preparing, I looked at some different talks, just trying to get some ideas of what I could speak on and not just try to do memories, because sometimes, you know, all of you weren't there, so memories aren't as fresh with you as they are with us. But I came across a talk, and it's just part of a talk. It was by Elder Russell Ballard back in 2014. And the thing I liked about it is, well, the title is, Be Still and Know That I Am God. And just a small part of this talk was, it stated, there's the heading is, differences between the past and the present. And what I'm going to say, it says, I'm going to read part of this just so it makes sense. From the days of Adam and Eve until the days of Joseph and Emma Smith, the world changed rather slowly from one generation to another. People living in the past enjoyed an abundance of natural heavenly light and comfortable darkness, without streetlights, headlights, and light pollution found in all our cities across the world. And in the cities today, it is almost impossible to see the night sky as Abraham, Moses, Ruth, Elizabeth, Jesus, and the early saints did. They also enjoyed natural silence with a few man-made sounds interrupting their days, and especially their nights. Modern noise from cars, planes, and something many of you, he says, and something many of you refer to as music, has drowned out the natural world. And he goes on to say, you have to understand for my generation, what you think is music and what I think is music were a long way apart. He said, you can no longer go to a restaurant without music being played in the background. Even in remote forests in the world, the silence is often broken by a flight of a jet plane overhead. Finally, the people of earlier times experienced solitude in ways we cannot imagine. In our crowded and busy world, even when we are alone today, we can be tuned in with our handheld devices, laptops, TVs, phones, to keep us entertained and occupied. What I've learned most in my life came from listening to those with great experiences, those who had lived longer and learned many important things that I needed to know. Please take advantage and visit and talk with your parents, with your uncles, with your aunts, grandparents, while they are still with you. You know, I have many. I had many opportunities to be with Dad and to sit in silence. You know, every vehicle we ever owned had a radio in it, every one of them. But we would get in the truck, we'd ride to Grace, Idaho to get potatoes every year, and that radio did not work, or was not turned on. You know, and he would sit over there, it was just fine, just in his own little thoughts. And every once in a while, we'd see something and a comment was made, but we didn't need the world to entertain us. We had each other when we needed to share something, and that's the way he was. When he needed to share something, he would. Otherwise, it was quiet time, but we were together, sitting up on the mountain. I mean, listening to the birds, or just watching for animals that we were there hunting, or just even four-wheeling, we'd stop and have lunch somewhere, or different activities. I mean, we didn't sit and chat. I know some people like to chat. Sorry, we're not chatters. He wasn't a chatter. Some of us have gained the gab chat. I chat a lot, talk a lot. Sometimes hard to shut me up. But anyway, it was great times to be with him. And I'm going to explain this now. One of Dad's wishes, I'll say wishes, or one thing that he told all of us all the time, when I die, I want to be up on the mountain, sitting under a pine tree with my dog and my gun. He didn't make it up there. There were several of my sisters talked to him and said, we'll put you on the four-wheeler and haul you up there and drop you off towards the end. But that's what he wanted to do. So I figured I'd give him a minute so that where he wanted to be was kind of available. But I did have many years to watch him in action. I mean, several years ago, back during COVID, I decided to build onto my house. Dad was 81 years at the time, 81 years old at the time. And I was, you know, big gung-ho, going to do it all, going to build this house by myself. But I didn't know how. I wasn't smart enough. So Dad was there. I mean, he hammered nails all day long. He stood walls up. I mean, he worked harder than I did. And I, you know, I'd go in the house, be wore right out. He was just there going all the time. Back first thing every morning. I know I talked to Mom earlier, and she'd say he'd come home and he was just exhausted. He'd sit down in the recliner and just pass right out. Hardly eat his supper because of working that hard at that age. But that was Dad. I mean, he loved to work. In fact, I commented a couple of you earlier in the line that 3 to 4 weeks ago, I went to his house because he had some apple trees that needed to be trimmed. So he had some big ones. But there was also these small ones, these new trees he planted. Well, they were all trimmed. Come to find out, he'd been out there with his cane and his pruners trimming these trees all by himself. And he would have done the others, too, if somebody wouldn't have shown up. So right up to the end, like I said, 3 or 4 weeks ago, he was out doing, working in the yard. And his yard was part of his joy, like my sister said in his later years. That was something that he really loved. And the other comment she made was about when he had shorts on and his white legs. I teased him quite often because if you wore white sports, he didn't wear short socks. Okay, he wore the high top basketball socks, and you couldn't tell where the line and where the socks ended and the legs started because it was all white. And I teased him. I said, "You got to get out in the sun once in a while." But you know, he wore his shorts in the house. I don't think he wanted the neighbors to see them or be blinded as they drove by, something or other. Excuse me. But yeah, he was one of the good ones. I mean, I'm sorry he's gone, but I'm glad he's not here suffering anymore. You know, I've lost everywhere I was in my talk. I don't have any idea where I am, but at least I'm visiting with you. One thing I did want to talk about was in his retirement, and it was mentioned earlier that he had to find things to do. And there was five or six gentlemen about his age here in town, and they would go four-wheeling once a week. Sometimes you'd get a little worried about them because, you know, there were some of them that were 10 years older than him. But he would round them all up, and they'd load all the four-wheelers up, and they'd go up the canyon, and he would, they always wanted him to be the guide. And he loved that because he wasn't in the dust. I mean, sorry, just get out front. But some of them would complain sometimes because Dad, he loved riding the four-wheeler, snow, whatever, but he would take them down trails, and they said it was scary. Sometimes they'd get off, and Dad would go back and ride their four-wheeler down because they just, sorry, we're not doing that. But they had a lot of experiences that way. They had a lot of fun together. They enjoyed each other's company. And same, just recently, his friend, Jim Williams, he's down here in the audience, him and Dad would go fishing every week. Every week they'd go up somewhere, some pond up in Idaho, they'd buy their licenses and go up fishing. They loved to be together. And I'm sure Jim had the experience of riding along and not much talking, but they were together. And Dad commented, you know, Dad, he takes advantage when he took advantage when he could. He said, you know, Jim will actually bait my hook and take my fish off. He said, that's good. My hands don't stink. Life's good. So Jim's a good man. We love Jim. He's been a great source of strength to Dad in these last couple of years as they've got together and done different things. In fact, I hunted with Jim and his dad 20 years ago before his dad passed away up on the mountain. So it was fun. They got back together and enjoyed time together. What else have we got here? Dad had a big heart and cared about most people. He served. He served in the ward. I mean, I ran into a man, and Lori's here. I ran into her son, Mike, several years ago. And he came up to me and he said, you know, he said, and we chatted for a few minutes. And he said, you know, one thing I remember and I looked up to was your dad. He says, because he was really an example to me, him and a couple other, the men in the ward at the time, because they were always there serving. They were the first to be there, the last to leave. They didn't want any recognition. They just knew that that's what we did. And they were always serving. And it was so, I became so proud of him that minute that he would set that example for someone. And he set it for us as kids that we would try to follow and try to serve our fellow men as we went through life. I want Dad to know that I love him and appreciate all that he taught me. And Mom also, they're great. We had the best parents in the world. Best parents in the world. I mean, the camping and other trips that we went on, Jamie didn't get it going then. That's okay. Camper only slept 5 and she was the 6th and it wasn't happening. But we had good times up on Twin Lakes, just floating around or camping overnight, fires. I mean, we had some good times. We had good times, but then I created bad times for myself sometimes too. We had plans to go to a family reunion in Wyoming. And the rule was I had to get the lawn mowed before we could go. Well, kids, you know, 12, 13, we don't, it's going to blow over, they'll go anyway. That's the first reunion we didn't go to. They came home from work, ready to go, and is the lawn mowed? No. Well, then put your stuff away, we're not going. And I'm glad for firm parents because they do teach you how to understand that there are consequences in life. So it's great. Again, I want to thank all of you for coming. Tell Mom and Dad that I do love them, all my family, that I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you. Last night, my family and I were at the Salt Lake Airport at the international arrival gates, waiting for a family friend who was coming to visit. As we waited, we watched another large family gather in anticipation of their grandma and grandpa returning home from a mission. As this senior couple walked out of the doors from the customs portion of the airport into the waiting area, I watched two young grandsons ignore the security guard and race to be the first to greet their grandparents, to give them hugs and kisses. There were shouts of excitement, praises of service well done, and lots of hugging and crying as a long separation came to an end. Tears came to my eyes as I watched this interaction, and I thought about the events of this week. I have to believe that a very similar reunion took place on the other side of the veil on Monday evening. Parents rushed to meet their son. Sisters and other family members shouted in excitement. There were praises of service well done and lots of hugging and crying as a long separation came to an end. While thoughts of that sweet reunion bring happiness to our hearts, there are still feelings of loss and sadness. President Russell M. Nelson taught, irrespective of age, we mourn the loss of those loved and lost. Mourning is one of the deepest expressions of pure love. It is a natural response. Moreover, we can't fully appreciate joyful reunions later without tearful separations now. The only way to take sorrow out of death is to take love out of life, and that we simply cannot do. Lewis loved his family, and his family loved him. Last fall, he came to visit me for tithing declaration. I asked him what blessings he and Aura Lee had seen from a lifetime of paying tithing. He said that while they were never rich, they never went without, but the real blessings they saw were the blessings of their family, the kids they have, and eternal families. For me, the legacy Lewis leaves behind is a legacy of faith and family. I see it in his kids and in his grandkids, some I have recently just met and some that I have known for some time. Lewis was a quiet stalwart of the Providence First Ward. Like the Savior, he simply went about doing good. I'm reminded of him when Nephi teaches, "Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way, nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end." That is what Lewis did. He pressed forward with a steadfastness in Christ, with a love of God and of all men. I testify that death is not the end. Like Nephi, I testify that there is none other way, nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved. Thanks to our Savior, all will be resurrected to live again. It is my testimony that Lewis lives on in spirit. He now waits on the other side to rush to hug and greet those still here, to praise of service well done, and welcome his family home. In the Book of Mormon, the prophet Alma teaches, "Now concerning the state of the soul between death and resurrection, the spirits of all men, as soon as they are departed from this mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, are taken home to that God who gave them life. And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of those who are righteous are received into a state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all their troubles and from all cares and sorrow." I testify that Lewis is in a place of peace and rest where good people, not perfect people, wait to welcome those of us still here. I testify that this is possible because of the atonement of Jesus Christ, and he calls unto us all, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I share those things with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. On behalf of the family, I'd like to thank you all for your attendance here today, for those who have provided the flowers, and for the sympathy and love that has been shown and expressed by so many. I also thank those who have taken part in the service, and for the Providence First Ward Relief Society for the compassionate service they have provided and the family dinner that they have prepared. The casket bearers are Mark Frank, Jamie Cadenac, Ian Cadenac, Craig Frank, Trevor Frank, Jim Williams, Roger Roundy, Jordan Frank, and Mason Roundy, with honorary casket bearer McKay Roundy. The interment will be at the Providence City Cemetery, and the dedicatory prayer will be offered by Roger Roundy, a son-in-law. We want to remind you to obey all traffic lights, stop signs, etc. as we proceed to the cemetery, and please drive safely. Our concluding hymn will be hymn number 292, "O My Father," and the closing benediction will be given by Trevor Frank, a grandson.
Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for this day, to be able to gather together and celebrate the life of Grandpa Lou. We thank thee for the life he lived and for the strength that he gave to all of his family. We thank thee for the example that he set for us each day in showing us how to work hard and also how to love our family. We thank thee for his example and in being still and knowing thee. We pray that we will remember his example, that we will look to thee and to thy Son. We pray that thou will bless his family. We pray that thou will bless Grandma Orly, that she will feel of thy love and that she will be strengthened during this difficult time. We pray that we may gather as family to do our best to uplift and strengthen her. We thank thee for thy Son. We thank thee for his atonement. We pray that we will strive to come unto thee and to prepare one day to meet thee and to meet Grandpa Lou. We thank thee for thy many blessings, and we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.